like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You cannot fail. The only thing I found is through it all, you never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. And every turn I come face to face with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found?
You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. Your love is fierce. Your love.
Why don't you turn and say good morning to someone this morning?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day. Joys, oh bright day. really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden spring up from this ground? What can I do? completely to you. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke all life into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. What can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation. Spirit alive in me, life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll send my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so
so good, you're so good.
yet we are undeserving, Lord, and you chose us. And you've blessed us and healed us and made us whole, God, only through Jesus' blood. Father, thank you for leading us and sending us the example of Jesus Christ and sending your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, Lord, to guide us and to teach us and correct us. And thank you for allowing us to meet here today to worship you, Father, to worship you in giving and in singing you praises, Lord. And now through the study of your word, your perfect truth, we thank you for that scripture. And we pray that you just bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pretty scary when you think about the habits and the traits that you carry on from your father. I think about some of the things that I carry on from my dad, and you know, and you look at it, but then there's also the blessing. Our heritage, our parents and what they give to us is really super important in the sense that we take a look at what we learn from our father, we pass on in a lot of different ways. And that is true about your spiritual father. You all have one. In fact, there's two spiritual heritages that you potentially could have. One does not come from God, and one comes from God. And we'll be unpacking that a little bit more as we take a look at our passages this morning. It's our behavior and our faith that really displays where we come from, our spiritual heritage. As Jesus is continuing on in this discourse at the Feast of Tabernacles, he actually is coming to an end of it. It has been quite a long discourse as we've been unpacking it and taking a look at all the truths that are all part of this. But the end line that Jesus wants us to understand is, are you either of God or are you of the devil? Those are the two heritage that we have to wrestle with and really understanding who is your father. And this conversation really is part of the previous conversation in chapter 8, verses 34 to 38, regarding the Jews, where Jesus made a statement about the Jews being a slave. And they said, we're not a slave, we're of Abraham. And so they got all up in arms about their spiritual heritage and said, oh, really? You want to talk about heritage? We'll talk about heritage. And we'll unpack this because he wanted them to understand who really is their father. So over the next 20 verses, we're going to see Jesus' latter conversation with these guys and really how it applies to us in taking a look at our father. Because there's 20 verses, we're not going to stand and read them all, but I am going to ask that you stand and we submit ourselves to God's word, and then we'll unpack them as we go. So let's all stand together and prayerfully consider how we're going to enter into the presence of God in his word. So God, we thank you that your word is true and your word is right and your word is holy. For these next 20 verses, we submit ourselves to the teaching of your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring light into the darkness, that you would help us to understand as believers our spiritual heritage. But Father, if there are those that are here that are unbelievers, that have never been adopted by God as their father, may they understand that trusting in religion or trusting in some other form is really not a true godly heritage, but it's really part of the world and part of Satan and what he has brought to us. We ask that you just teach us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what we'll do is we'll kind of unpack it as we go. And some of the sections that Jesus comes in, as I shared with you earlier, the Jews were really blinded by self-delusion of their heritage, as they still are. They're very much about the fact that they are Jews and that they are of Abraham and of the covenant promise. And because of that covenant promise, they believe that they are covered by that covenant, that it's a one-size-fits-all. But I got to tell you, there's a challenge with that, even in our faith system, in Christianity, because a lot of people will claim to be Christians. They'll claim to be, I'm a Christian because I was born in a Christian family. Question. Does being born in a Christian family make you a Christian? Shake your head no. It does not. Does living in the United States, a Christian nation, I say that tongue in cheek, does that make you a Christian? No, it doesn't. Does sitting in this church right now make you a Christian? No, it does not. And as we walk through this, Jesus is going to push back against some of those false ideas and pride and ideas of spiritual heritage and the inconsistencies even within their faith. The first few verses here in 39 to 41, Jesus really talks about the fact that your behavior displays your true spiritual father. And you're going, uh-oh, this is not good. But we look at the verses. Verses 39 to 41 says this. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if... By the way, notice how many ifs are in our section here. They're called conditional clauses, and we'll unpack them a little bit. If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have but one father. So Jesus really challenges them and says, look it, if you were Abraham's children, now within that, that's called a second condition clause. And it would read like this, if you are Abraham's children and you are not, because it assumes the negative. Can you imagine what Jesus says? If you are Abraham's children and you are not, you would do the deeds of Abraham. And so we think about this concept of religion. Does religion save you? Well, John the Baptist first addressed their attitude and their piety within their own religion when he condemned them. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. As John the Baptist would address them, I love John the Baptist because he doesn't hold back. He is not a people pleaser. John the Baptist is not what we would say would be politically correct. So he began saying to the crowds that came out, going out to be baptized, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, here's what the Jews were saying, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, John speaking, from these stones, God is able to raise up children of Abraham. In other words, you're so proudful saying, we are children of Abraham. And John basically says, you know what? God can turn these stones into his children, and he doesn't need you. They were so self-reliant in their construct of their ideas. As descendants of Abraham, they felt they were privileged because they were covered by the covenant of Abraham. How were they covered? Well, Abraham is our genealogical father. We come from him. God gave to Abraham a promise in Genesis chapter 15 and also in Genesis 17, this covenant. And it was ratified by the circumcision. So basically, if you were circumcised, you were thought to be covered by this whole covenant relationship that you were in there. It's much like what we would do in churches where we might baptize a child, or we might baptize somebody. Say, and I was talking with somebody about a death of a loved one, and they say, well, they were baptized as a kid. Well, does infant baptism cover you? Is it your? No, it does not. As I said earlier, even as being born in the United States, I came across some statistics on Pew Research. The most recent ones stated this, that in the United States, 70% of the people in the United States consider themselves to be Christians. Would you agree with that statistic?
No.
It's a true statistic. They believe it. They consider themselves. But does considering myself a Christian make me a Christian?
No.
It's what you do that really displays who you are. I got one further. What do you think the percentage is in Oregon?
Really?
61% of people in Oregon surveyed. Where do they live? Yeah. Well, I can tell you they're not in Portland. But.
Now, we look at this and we scratch our heads because much like Jesus, in talking with these, I mean, can you imagine what Jesus was thinking as he's talking with them? And he's saying, look it, you call yourself a child of Abraham, yet you want to kill me. You want to kill me because I bring the word of God to you. Now, that is so contrary to Abraham, because if you were Abraham's children and you are not, and how does he say that you are not? Because you're not doing the deeds of Abraham. Now, what was the deeds of Abraham? What was the thing that Abraham consistently did that demonstrated that he was a child of Yahweh? Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says this. Paul in writing to the church of Rome, for what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. What did Abraham believe about God? God's word. Jesus has come to earth bringing God's word and he is displaying God's word. And Abraham, by faith, accepted God's word and it was counted to him for righteousness. So what are the deeds of Abraham? Listening to the word of God via the messenger, God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth. But what do they want to do? They want to kill the messenger and they reject the words of God, which tells you the fact that they are not born of God. They're not accepting of them. It's a true heritage of faith is true. It's going to be a life of obedience unto the word of God. And so you look at this and you go, wow, okay. So how do I know somebody's really a Christian? Well, here's something simple. Are they Christ-like? Because that's really what the word Christian means. When we take a look at this, Jesus is pushing back and says, well, you can't be Abraham's children because you're rejecting the word of God. And they desired to kill him. Notice in verse 40, you see me and you want to kill me. And you're doing these things from God. Jesus, and I think it's interesting, there's a line in here that I don't want you to miss. Verse 40, it says this. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me. What's the next words? A what? A man. Have you ever looked for scripture that says that Jesus declares himself as man and God at the same time? Jump down to verse 58. What is the name of God that is used in that passage? The I am. That is the name of God. And here in John chapter 8, we have Jesus declaring himself both in his humanity and his divinity at the same time. Well, they were okay in accepting humanity because they thought Jesus was just a man. But it would be later that they would deal with him. And so he says, look it, he says, you're not doing the deeds of your father Abraham. You want to kill him. In fact, in verse 41, they would come back and they would say to him, we are not born of fornication. We have but one father. Jesus is separating himself in verse 38 because it's interesting because he uses the word your. Separating himself from their false faith in Abraham. Abraham, your father. There was a pushback against this because they didn't like the fact that they were considered spiritually illegitimate. But they were because they had another faith system and trying to claim themselves as a children of God, that wasn't true. God had adopted the nation of Israel as his kids. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, when God was speaking to Pharaoh, he said thus. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my what? Firstborn. Firstborn. God chose them. And the Jewish faith is based on monotheism. Now, I want you to think a little bit more to the hearers of what Jesus' words were contemplating, because they understand that God is Yahweh and that he speaks. Abraham believed in Yahweh, but Jesus is saying, I have come and I bring the words of God, making himself equal with God, and he had already done that. And so with them, they were conflicted because how could God be God and Jesus be God at the same time? That's not monotheism. And so within their mind, they were very conflicted that Jesus could be God. And so they were pushing back against that. Based on the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, there is one God. And so they would hold on to that. Yet in this, Jesus is trying to reveal truth to them, that they're believing in a faith system that is faulty. I think it's also interesting to note that they were claiming they were only born of God. And turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. In the beginning of John's epistle, we read, "But as many as received to them, he gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but God." How were we born again? By the will of God. I got to tell you one thing that is for sure. God does not have grandchildren. Amen. God has children. And Jesus is pushing back against this concept because they say, well, we're of Abraham. Well, if Abraham was truly the son of God, then we are grandchildren to this. And Jesus says, no. Do you know what man's religion makes you at best? Either an enemy of God or a supposed grandchildren, and that's a lie. You are either a child of God or you're not. You were either born again of God or you're not. And so you got to think about who is your father. And really, how you live displays that, who your father is. Looking at your life, what that nature is. We look at the next part of Jesus' discussion with them, verses 42 to 47. He says this, "If God were your father," there's another if. "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he who sent me. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because, why? There is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears the word of God. And this is the reason you don't hear them, because you are not of God." Wow. That is just a clear declaration, a revelation saying, look, it, you don't get this because it's spiritual and you're not spiritual. Now we take a look at that word "if" that's in the beginning of verse 42. If you were of God your father, what do you think that is? Is that a second class? How would you phrase that? If you were God of God your father and you are not. Right? And you are not. So he is really dealing with them. What are the true marks then of spiritual sonship of God? Spiritual sonship of God is likeness in conduct. How you live, your conduct, how you behave, that shows your spiritual likeness of God. Another aspect of spiritual likeness of God is that you would have faith like Abraham. If you had faith in God, then you would be a son of God like Abraham. But you do not. If God was your father, you would be like God. Now, take a look at this clearly. Who is the only one that is like God? Think about that critically. How many people are like God? Only one person, Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten of God. But if you remember back in the garden when Satan told his lie, he said, God doesn't want you to eat this fruit because you'll be like him. And how many other people say, well, God wants you to become like little gods or other gods or all of these other things. And that's all part of the lies that Satan brings. But I think a clear mark, if you want to look at one definitive mark, as Jesus says, what is the clear definitive mark of sonship of God? You'll love Jesus. You'll love Jesus. I had a conversation with a gentleman this week And we talked about a number of different things. But my question to him is, who is Jesus to you? I mean, we talked about a number of other things. And I said to him, I'm a 10-year-old kid. Explain to me who Jesus is as a 10-year-old. Help me to understand who that is to you. And he said, I don't know. The reality is we need to know who Jesus is and we need to love Jesus. And that, Jesus says, that is a mark of spiritual sonship. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 5:1. 1 John 5:1 says this clearly. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the children born of Him. What's central to being born of God? Love for God and loving others. Loving God and loving His children. Being in that place. A second clear mark, a second very clear mark of sonship of God is you can hear the Word of God. But if you cannot hear the Word of God, if it doesn't have impact in you, if it doesn't resonate into your heart, you are not a son of God. You're not. It's impossible. Jesus said, you don't hear these things. Why? Because the natural man can't understand these things. And Paul would write to the church of Corinth, which was a very carnal church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. How do you know if someone is born again, a child of God? Because they take a look at Scripture, and Scripture speaks to them. God speaks to them. Have you ever tried to share Scripture or tried to share Jesus with somebody, and they've got that deer in the headlight, I don't get it look? They don't get it. There are a lot of people that are running around this world today that are saying, I'm a Christian, but they don't know one iota of the Word of God, and God's Word doesn't speak to them. They are cultural. They might be nominal. They might be all kinds of different things, but they're not sons of God. It's the behavior that displays who your Father is, as He would say in verse 44. Jesus says, look, at your behavior displays your origin. Who is the origin of these Jews, these very proud Jews? Your father is the devil. These are, mind you, the religious leaders of the day. They are the keepers of the Torah, the Talmud. They are the keepers of the temple and the place of sanctuary. And for Jesus to say, your father is the devil, would just be incredible. And he declares that to them because they don't get it. He says, your father's the devil and you want to do what? The desires of the devil. Because God is not their father, they get into this place that they don't understand. You say, well, look it, I don't get this. Jesus explained it clearly to Nicodemus. There are only two conditions that every person exists in. Either born of God, not born of God. Clearly. Turn to John chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. In John 3, 6 to 7, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said this, that which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of spirit is what? Don't be amazed that I said to this. Now, imperative statement. You must be what? It is clear to understand the things of God, you've got to be born again. That's a mystical work that God does. The devil by nature is a murderer. The devil by nature hates Jesus. The devil by nature hates God. The devil by nature hates anything and everything to do with God. Wants to murder, wants to destroy, wants to wipe him out. And he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. You say, well, when did he murder? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. As we know this passage very well, what was the statement that God said? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely what? Die. There is the statement from God. You eat from this tree, you die. What does Satan turn around and do in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4? I'm sorry, yeah, well, 1 through 4, but specifically 4. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely what? Is that a truth or a lie? He told a lie, in essence, to murder her and him and us. God's very creation at that time. He lied in order to deceive man, to put man in a position that he would die, by extension, killing man. If he can get him to believe this lie, then he kills man. He's a murderer, and he's a liar from the beginning. And here it is, he's doing the same thing again. Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And if you think about this, in essence, Satan cannot tell the truth. It is impossible for him to tell the truth. As Jesus would say, there is absolutely no truth in him. There is only one truth, as I said last week, God's truth. Everything else apart from God is a lie. And we get into these discussions and these debates about truth and all these other things. We either go to God's truth or we're sucked into the lies of the devil. And if we look at everything black and white, then we start to understand what Satan is trying to do. But they only hear the devil. Why? Because they're sons of the devil. And if you're only hearing a liar because you're a son of the liar, then what are you going to end up doing? Whatever the liar tells you to do. But if you're a son of God and you only hear the things of God, then what are you going to end up doing? The things of God. And so we have to push that back. And it's true, we are in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We don't have to be in that place. Their father was a liar. And so here's a question that I know someone will ask. If someone cannot hear the truth because they are of the devil, in other words, they can only hear lies, then how does a person become born again? If you only hear lies, you're incapable of hearing truth in that fallen nature as a son of the devil, how is a person born again? How does a person come to faith to be able to understand that? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, verses 44 to 45. In John chapter 6, verses 44 to 45 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How does that happen? I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. But I know what Scripture says. That apart from God, I am spiritually dead. Deaf, dumb, and blind. And unless God mystically intervenes in my life through the Holy Spirit that comes and enlightens my understanding and brings that understanding to truth, where then I can hear the Word of God and respond to the Word of God, I will remain in that dead condition. Now we know from other passages in Scriptures that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. That the work of the Holy Spirit is moving and bringing truth to life, that Jesus is the light, and He is the light that's come into the world, the Word of God that's come into the world. And so there is this unique union that happens when God reveals Himself to somebody, and then that person needs to respond in order to acknowledge the truth that has been revealed to him. And when that happens, when you hear the Word of God, when something goes on and you go, okay, I get it, that's on you. You need to respond. You need to hear it and not push back. When that light comes in to a very dark place, you recognize the light and you respond to that light. And it is a work of God, and it is a response of man that believes, and we know that God has given to every man a measure of faith to believe. Therefore, Maybe this morning you're at that place where you're going, okay, I've heard this. I need to respond. Yes, you do. To what God's doing. We understand that God gives us that hope. We don't become children of God because we are great. We don't become children of God because we are born into a religious family or some kind of religious system, or we have some church membership card. We become children of God because of God's great grace that is given to us. And we respond to that. Jesus finishes this pericope, this section here, with two questions. One of which, he says, which one of you convicts me of sin? I love that because Jesus is saying, look, you're of the devil and you want to bring this up. Step up. If you've got a conviction, bring it. Let's bring it. Let's talk about it. I love that. He calls them out because they've been sneaking behind the shadows and obviously they don't have anything to bring. Then the other secondary question that's part of the first, if you have something to convict me on, convict me of it now. Then why won't you believe if you've got nothing to say? Why won't you believe? And that's an internal soul search. Jesus has given them. They have a hard time believing because they are children of the devil. And they're closed off to the words of God. Your faith really does display the nature of your Father, and how you respond to Jesus displays your nature. This third section, verses 48 to 51, Jesus continues, and I love the fact that in light of all this opposition, Jesus is still on mission. Jesus does something amazing. When people offend me and they make me angry and I get frustrated with them, I do what you all do. I cut them off and I don't want to have anything to do with them. Right? You made me mad. I'm going to unfriend you. Yeah. Have you ever done that? You unfriended somebody and they go, why did you unfriend me? We look at this. Jesus offers life even though he was being dishonored. Look at verses 48 to 51. Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus says, I don't have a demon, but I honor the Father and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. This is such a great promise. The first thing that the Jews do that show their true colors, look at, they slander him. You say, well, where was the slander? Look at the verse. You're a demon-possessed Samaritan. You say, well, that doesn't mean much. Oh, no. In Jewish culture, it means everything because Jews were the most hated group. These half-breeds that were just thought to be less than. And they basically said, you're not really a full Jew, you're only a half-Jew, and you're demon-possessed and all of this. And they slander him. By the way, who is the slanderer?
The enemy.
The devil. That's what his name, Diabolos. Slanderer, that's what it means. So Jesus says, no, I'm not a devil. In Proverbs, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. He doesn't argue about it. He just says, I'm not a devil. And I'm here only to honor my Father. But you dishonor me. But I seek only the glory of the one who sent me, the truth of his Father. He is not looking to bring honor to himself like the Jews were, or the devil, but he's looking to honor God. And Satan's existence is always to dishonor God. But then Jesus does something that you just don't expect. He offers to them still a path of salvation. What was Jesus' mission? To come and to present a path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And what does he say here? He says, truly, truly, amen, amen. This is a sure thing you can count on. I say to you, if, third class conditional cause, this is potential. If, this is your potential. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. If anyone keeps my word, what does that mean? It means to keep, to obey, to accept, to cherish, to live by, all of these things. Here's your path to salvation. In order to keep the word of Jesus, the Son of God, you have to keep Jesus as the Son of God. You'll never see death. It is a transformation. You receive life. And I want you to think about it this way. At what point in time does this promise come true? The one who keeps the word will never see death. At that point in time when you were born again, that individual turns their back on death. And they will never see death. You say, well, Carrie, this body's going to die. That's not what Jesus is talking about. From that point forward, it is all about life. It's all about the life of God. The trajectory changes from a dead man walking to a living man living. And you turn your back on death. In John 6:63, it says this, John speaking, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh produces nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And in John 5:24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, present condition, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. If you're here this morning and you are still facing death, it is only because you're still a child of the devil in that world and in that realm. How do I become a child of God? You respond to what the Holy Spirit's telling you in your heart right now. That action that's happening here, right now, you respond to it. You say, God, I confess my sins to you. I hear you calling. Will you forgive me? I want to live and not die, and I turn my life over to you so that you might give me life. Save me. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to turn around and experience eternal life now. And understand that the trajectory of your life eternally begins at that moment unto eternal living. What happens to this body doesn't matter. These bodies are all going to go away just like the world's all going to go away. But it's an eternity of faith. And so it's that faith and that behavior that displays that by nature you become a child of God, but when you accept Jesus and the words. The last section that we look at, 52 to 59, is where Jesus finally declares himself and they ultimately reject him. Look at this. He says, and the Jews said to him, now we know that you are a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my words, he'll never taste death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham. By the way, are these guys getting it?
No.
Nope. The prophets, Abraham died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him. But I know him, and if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father, notice the your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? By the way, he's over thousands and thousands of years dead. Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am, ego ami. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So Jesus challenged them. The Jews mocked him, and they said, look it, what do you mean, never see death? Abraham did everything according to the word of God, brought the word of God, and he died. Prophets and them, these holy, righteous people, they still died. You're a liar. Jesus says, nope, not. And I'm not glorifying myself, but I'm glorifying the Father that is in heaven. And that's the Father that glorifies me. John 17:5 says, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself. Note, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus, in that statement, is declaring his pre-existence. And the Jews claimed to know God, but they really didn't know God. And Jesus says, no, you don't know God. And they said, well, you really don't know God. Just tell us you don't know God. And Jesus says, I can't. Because if I say I don't know God, then I'm a liar like you. I can't. And that is the truth about a true child of God. A true child of God cannot deny the Father because he's been born again. Cannot deny the Father. He continues and really declares that truth. In Titus chapter 1, 15 and 16, Titus would write, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Two classes. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Do you guys get it? Two classes of people in the world. Those that know God, those that don't know God. It's not about religion. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. God doesn't care what you know. He cares about who you know. And it's about knowing Jesus and knowing his word. Well, Jesus was mocked by these Jews, and he finally has had enough with this. And he says, I'm going to tell you a truth. Before Abraham was, I am. And they're like, well, that doesn't make sense. How is that the case? He uses the name of God in Exodus 3:6, where he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Moses hid his face. He's the I am that's there. In verse 14, he says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall it be the sons of Israel. I am has sent you. And what did the Jews do? They picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because at that point in their mind, Jesus declared blasphemy. Unfortunately, according to not abiding by the law in Leviticus chapter 14, I believe it is, 24, I'm sorry, Leviticus 24, 16, they couldn't stone anybody unless they had a court, a trial. And you know what the coolest thing is about all of this? Jesus declares this truth, and he lets it sit and soak. They wanted to stone him, and he walked out in the midst of them. And you're saying, well, why didn't they throw rocks at him? I believe Jesus did something supernatural because he said, I'm not done yet. I got more to say to you. And I love the fact that he does that. But for us, I want to challenge you to consider your behavior in light of your confession. Does your behavior display that you are a child of God? And if not, what is your behavior display? Because as your actions go, they reflect the heart. It's truly like Father, like Son. Who's your dad? Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you give to us a truth and hope. And Lord, I know that you have spoken to hearts this morning. There are people that are even considering their lives. And they're questioning, they're going, but God, I still sin. Yeah, we do. But the bottom line is, do we love Jesus? For you this morning that's wrestling over this, do you love Jesus? Do you hear God? Have you given him your life? During this last song, meditate on that. Let it soak. And maybe during this time of worship through music, you can pray and say, God, I want to be your child. Will you accept me? Will you forgive me? Will you adopt me? Will you be my dad? We thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, do that work in Jesus' name. Let's all stand if you can.
Now revealed in you are.
wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was great. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no right. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
There is no other name that will save but the name of Jesus Christ. And we consider the grave that Jesus rose again. If you've considered where you're at and who your spiritual father is, and you realize this morning that it is not God, I would encourage you to pray. Maybe come up and talk with me. Write a note on a comment card and say, I want to pray with somebody to accept Jesus. We would love to pray with you. And God, as we go out this day, may we honor you with everything that we do. And most importantly, Dad, make you smile. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Praise Jesus. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.